Paul Nolte joins us now, as he does every Tuesday at this time, Senior VP at Kingsview Wealth Management. Good morning, Paul. How are you doing today?
Very well. We're in the big melt, so we should actually start to see grass soon.
How about that? Stock futures lower so far. What's happening market-wise today?
Yeah, they're melting a little bit as well, and I think really what's happening within the market is a shift, as we've talked about for a little while, is the shift is going away from technology and into other parts of the economy that are going to benefit from an economic opening. So we're seeing travel stocks doing well. We're seeing financials do well. We're seeing a lot of the basic material stocks do well. So it's when you look at how the market is doing, the Dow is actually doing the best and the NASDAQ doing the worst. The Dow has much more cyclicality to it, and the NASDAQ has a lot more technology to it.
Small stocks have been doing really well, haven't they?
Oh, they've been on fire, and they are part of that reopening because small stocks tend to be very domestic-oriented. They don't have a lot of international exposure. They don't buy and sell a lot of their goods outside the U.S. borders. So they benefit greatly from a reopening of the economy, and so that's been anticipated by the markets over the last 6 months or so, and since September, the small stocks are up 40%. So it's not a bad time if you have those to take a little bit of money off the table, because 40% over 4 or 5 months is not too shabby.
No, it isn't. But you write in your newsletter that over the next few years, overall market returns are likely to disappoint. Why do you say that?
Well, the market is a discounting mechanism, and it's a function of where you start. If you start out when the market is expensive like it is today, your future returns are not likely to be all that good because you've already discounted a lot of good news going forward. So think of the market in 2000, think of it in 2008, when things were very expensive, things looked great. But over the next 3 to 5 years, you really didn't get much in the way of return. It was very exciting. The market dropped a lot and rallied back. But your overall rate of return over that period of time was low. So, again, going back to your mantra of buy low, sell high, we're high right now. We'd like to be able to buy low. We're just not sure when that's going to happen. So we're cautious at this point. For the longer term, short term, is a coin flip, but the longer term picture is not nearly as good.
How closely are financial advisors keeping tabs on what's going to happen with the stimulus package?
We're keeping a close eye on that because that means a lot of money coming out into the economy. And right now we're seeing what they're calling a reflation trade. So we're seeing a lot of stocks that are tied to the economy, copper, lumber prices, food prices, all of those are going up in the anticipation that there's going to be this huge wave that when everybody is allowed to move about the country, that all this pent-up demand for this last year is going to come out and we're going to see a lot of pricing pressure and inflation in the economy. So investors are starting to make that shift toward more inflation-sensitive stocks.
Not sure why, but lately I've seen a lot of articles about leasing a car and reasons to lease instead of buy now. Are people talking about this? Are you getting this question? And I still don't understand really the difference. I mean, what I don't understand is whether it's better to lease or buy.
You can ask the same question about a house. And really, that's what you're doing with a car. If you're leasing a car, you're essentially renting the car. But you're also getting a late model car, so you're not likely to have as many issues with it. You take care of the regular maintenance and everything else. But then at the end of your lease, then you turn it back to the dealer and you walk away. When you own the car, you have a lot more issues. You're in charge of all of the repair and maintenance, and if anything goes wrong, it's on you. But if you tend to keep a car 5-10 years and you really don't care about getting the latest model all the time, buying a car is fairly inexpensive. But leasing allows you maybe to trade up a little bit more. You're able to get maybe a better model car for that lease payment or your rental payment, in essence. So those are the two keys. It really kind of takes a look at how do you view a car? Do you use it and keep it forever, or do you like having the latest model and you know, constantly have a payment? And some people really don't like that payment. For businesses, there's some benefit to, there's some tax advantages if you own a business and you're leasing a car then through the business if you have that. There's a little bit of an advantage there, but for the individual, not so much.
So it really comes down to how long you keep a car and whether you like having the new model every year or two.
Yeah, and how much you're using it. And that's one of the things that's coming up lately, because now that we're all at home, do I really want to own something that's sitting in my garage, or am I going to use it occasionally? And maybe this is a cheaper way for me to have a car at my disposal, but not really lay out a lot of money for it.
Yeah, and when you lease, there's a mileage cap, isn't there, per year?
There is, and it depends on the vehicle and what the deal is that you're able to get. And again, going back to this last year, not a lot of people are driving a lot of miles, so you're not really running up against that cap. So unless you're really putting on a lot of mileage, most people don't get up close to that cap. So it's not too much of an issue for the public.
I think I finally understand that now, thanks to Paul Nolte, Senior VP, Kingsview Wealth Management. Enjoy the balmy day, Paul.
I got my shirts ready to go.
There you go. Talk to you next week.
Take care.
Thanks.